Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, we have a very special guest. Her name is Isabel Smith, and I'm very excited, Isabel, to have you on the show.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm just very excited to learn from your expertise. Isabel works in the assisted living space, and she helps people figure out how to be entrepreneurs in this space. So really excited to learn about this. It's something that I've been interested in for several years now and following the space pretty closely. Obviously, there were like a lot of challenges related to COVID in this space. And so just excited to hear your take and about your business model and how you're helping folks be entrepreneurs in this space. So please share with us, Isabel, a bit about your background and how and why you got into real estate and then this space specifically.
Awesome. So I'm Isabel Greeno Smith. I'm so excited to be here with you guys. The company that I'm really representing today, or kind of where, you know, what we do on a day-to-day is Residential Assisted Living Academy. We teach real estate investors and entrepreneurs how to own and operate their own assisted living, you know, homes in a residential setting. Usually you're housing between 6 or 16 seniors in one of these single family homes. I know 16 people in a single family home sounds crazy, but that's only in Texas where they allow that many anyways. So everything's bigger out there anyways. but that's really what we focus on. And you can be quite active in this field of investing, but you can also be very passive, especially as far as the real estate goes, you know, owning this real estate that someone's going to operate this business out of and just getting twice the fair market rent with a long-term low impact tenant with little or no maintenance. So savvy investors, listen up, because this might be something that really interests you for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I love that. And just excited to hear more about your business model. So share with us, Isabel, what is assisted living for the listeners who aren't familiar with it?
Yeah. So assisted living is really just it's a senior who needs a group home, right? They need help with their activities of daily living. Activities of daily living are everything that we do from the moment we get up out of bed to the moment we go to bed at night, including bathing, showering, eating, taking medication, walking, getting up, right? Brushing our hair, brushing our teeth, anything that we do. Seniors usually need help with 5 to 7 of these activities by the time that they are required to go into an assisted living setting. So most of us, when we think of assisted living, we think of a big box facility, a Brookdale, a Sunrise, an Atrium, right? That's not what we do. We don't focus on the larger facilities. We focus on the residential side of it. So really, it's a lot of the same, if not better care, because the resident to ratio caregiver is so much smaller, right? There's so much less of a gap, but you know, it's in a home setting. It's not home-like, it's a home. We all grew up in a home. Yeah. I don't want to move into a big facility that feels like a hospital or a hotel when I get old. I want to stay in my own home. And if you can't afford to do that, this is kind of that next best option. So that's really what this kind of is, what it looks like from the inside out.
For sure. Yeah, definitely a very interesting niche that you have. You know, we've definitely talked to several people who do work in those bigger facilities. And of course, you know, you can try to make those as homey as possible, but by the sheer size of those, you know, it has a different feel. Yeah. So when you live in a smaller environment, you know, it has a different feel, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So how, Isabel, let's just cut to the chase. How much money can you make if you were going to do what you teach your folks to do in running these facilities?
Yeah. So I'll give you like the quick and dirty, right? An average assisted living resident in the country today is paying $4,500 a month. per person, right? That's kind of average. So certain states are way more and certain states are less, but average $4,500 a month. I said we can have anywhere between that 6 and 16 residents. So we'll go with 10 because I'm here in Arizona where we're allowed to have 10. The homes I own have 10 residents. That's bringing in $45,000 a month. You obviously have your expenses and then your lease and your mortgage. At the end of the day, all in, you should be cash flowing about $10,000 a month on one of those homes. So we actually like to teach to not just do one. We like to teach to do at least three, because if you're going to do this, why not really do it? And I'm also teaching how to just own the real estate and the business. So you're not working in it, you know, you're working on it, right? It's a lot more. That's kind of from the passive perspective, what those numbers should look like.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah. I mean, and that's very enticing, right? Like most people's passive income number, I mean, it's very common for me to hear like, oh, I want to make $10,000 a month. Yeah. But you know, if you're saying like, oh, we'll just have three of them because it's a similar skill set and you're all of a sudden at $30,000 a month. Yeah, that's pretty enticing. You know, what I preach, if you've been listening to this show for a long time, is like build that equity. So have a business and or make more money and then put that equity to work in purely passive investments, right? So that you're diversifying. So this is a great way to build up that equity and build up that cash flow so that you can continue to leverage it in different ways. Okay, really excited to hear about this, Isabel. And I mean, there's just some questions that come to mind. So when you're teaching folks to do this model, first of all, are they owning these buildings locally or can they own these buildings long distance?
Great question. About 31% of residential assisted living owners own out of state. So we always say, live where you want, invest where makes sense, right? I used to live in San Diego and I loved living there, but California is expensive. And, you know, with real estate being even crazier than usual these days, it's like, it can seem near impossible to even get your foot in the door there. So if you're concerned about any of that, it's like, go invest somewhere else, right? There's seniors everywhere. People are aging everywhere. Just because someone's old doesn't mean they move to Florida or Arizona. A lot of people stay where they grew up, where they've lived forever. So you can do this anywhere. You don't have to do it where you live. I actually advise that you should be at least like 30 to 45 minutes away from the property.
Yeah.
The closer you are, the more tempted you are to go drive by and visit. You know, if it's a little bit too far out the way, you're like, oh, I'll go tomorrow. I'll go next week. You know, we own three of these. The closest one's probably 30 minutes away. The furthest one, almost 50. And I visit them every other month. And then I just call our manager like once a week. Hey, what's going on? Any updates, any questions you have for me? Do you need anything? And really that's it. So that's pretty as passive as it can get, you know, when it comes to owning a business and having that real estate component.
For sure. Yeah. Very, very interesting. And how then, Isabel, does it work with the manager? Like who would be your kind of like, where would you go find these managers?
Great question. So the licensed managers, or some states it will be called administrator, right? So it's a licensing. So they like go to a little state training to do this. A lot of them, honestly, about 70-ish percent of this industry is run by people from other countries, immigrants. For example, a lot of the people working in our home, they were doctors or nurses in whatever country they came from. We've got people from everywhere, Guatemala, South Africa, Honduras, Philippines, Romania, and they were like had prestigious jobs and it didn't translate over when they came here, but they had a heart for seniors and they said, I want to do something, you know, while I'm here, can I do this? And they go and they get licensed through the state and you can look for them in many different ways, right? They might be, it's kind of a tight-knit industry. So communicating with other homeowners, hey, do you know of an administrator looking for a job, right? Communicating with them, kind of people in the industry, placement agent, geriatric doctors or nurses, things like that. People kind of know one another in this industry. But the other place you can go is to these schools who are licensing them. And a lot of times they'll release a list of here's our freshest graduates or graduates from the past or whatever. And then you can give them a call and contact them. And really that's that first key is getting that administrator who works well with you. And, you know, as long as you guys get along well, because that's your key player, right? They're really doing all that day-to-day stuff for you.
Yeah, for sure. And how much are they typically getting paid, you know, out of that $45,000 per month?
So all the total cost of the income, it shouldn't be any more than 40% is going out for your staffing. So that's the manager and the caregivers. So really the caregivers are typically getting paid a couple dollars above minimum wage. That's kind of average rates these days. If you can pay them an additional dollar, you just made your house a lot more competitive than the one down the road. An administrator, you can pay them multiple ways. If you are going to own multiple houses, then you might want to pay them a flat fee per house that they're overseeing, because their license will typically allow them to oversee anywhere from 1 to 6 homes. So one home is not a full-time job for them to oversee. Most of our students, their managers oversee 3 to 4 properties. That's kind of that sweet spot. So they're usually being paid either a flat fee per home, or you could pay them just a base salary, and it could be incentivized by how many residents are there in the home. If the administrator is going to be in charge of helping fill the home, then you could say, hey, you get paid this percentage if the home is, 8 out of 10 beds full. But if it's 9 out of 10, you get this. And if it's 10 out of 10, you get this full thing. And that may help incentivize them to say, okay, I want to keep the beds full because I want to get paid the max amount. You can also pay them. They could have a percentage of ownership in the company. You can really break it up however you want. But truly, if the caregiver's a couple dollars above minimum wage, the administrator, at the end of the day, it might be $5 more above minimum wage. It's still not like a super high paying job.
Okay. Interesting. And it sounds like the state agencies are giving them all the tools they need to like effectively run these buildings.
Yes. When they come out and get licensed, they really should know everything that they need to know and to do. And a lot of times, working with the newer people right out of school, they might not have all the experience in the world, or you don't know, they could have been a caregiver for 12 years and now they just went to get that administrator license. So they might have lots of experience. So definitely making sure in that interviewing process that you're really understanding who they are, where their skill sets lie, but they should be trained enough through that licensing process and through that schooling, through their state, to really know what you're looking for. In our training, we obviously tell you like, hey, they might not teach this, but you're going to want to look for XYZ. And so those different tips and tricks are always important to know, just like what to really look for at the end of the day.
Yeah, for sure. And what about the home itself? Like, can you have a house with stairs? And obviously you're going to need like a lot of bathrooms, right? Or ADA accessible bathrooms. Like, how do you find a home that's suitable?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah, I love that question, Suja. So you can do multi-level homes for sure. We got a guy out in Jersey who has a 4-story home, right? So it's like a basement, 2-story, and then even a 3rd story up there. It's a massive property. And he added an elevator. So you can do elevators, you can do chairlifts, you can do multi-story. Obviously, 1-story is preferable because then you don't have to deal with that, any of that drama, but it's really not that expensive to add a chairlift or an elevator into the home. And it's a one-time fee, so it will pay back in dividends if you're opening a whole nother floor that could house another 5 residents, right? At the end of the day, it usually does make sense. So in regard to the property, you don't have to have it fully ADA compliant, but you want it as close to ADA compliant as possible. Ramps, guardrails, wider doorways, wider hallways, senior safe all the way. You want to make sure that you're limiting any potential falls or risks or anything like that. You want it as safe as possible. So all those little tricks like getting, widening the door with that offset hinge or, opening different things where you're putting ramps and guardrails, all things that, we teach and train, but definitely you want all of those things to make the house as suitable as possible.
Okay, very cool. And then what are some of the common pitfalls that, you're seeing your students come up against?
I love that. So I would say in any business, people are your hardest thing. And it's not usually the seniors. They're precious and we love them. They're like never the drama. It's almost always the adult children, right? A lot, we call them affectionately, daughter Judy and son Bob, right? Daughter Judy, she might not understand or know mom's capabilities anymore. You know, like she grew up with a mom and now who mom is and what mom's acting like, she might not be fully aware of what that really looks and feels like on a day-to-day basis. So sometimes their expectations are really, really high. And you just have to explain to them that, hey, mom's no longer capable of those things, or like, we do have to help her in this way, or she can't remember that anymore, you know, and just really working with those families, because there is a lot of emotions involved when your loved one starts aging and everything that you once knew about them looks and feels different. And your heart's breaking a little, you feel a little guilty, you feel maybe mad, maybe sad. There's a whole lot of emotions involved. So always dealing with the families is always like the number one challenge. And I think that the key is just over communication and then setting the tone up front. You know, this isn't a landlord-tenant contract. It's a residency agreement. So if the family or the resident no longer fits the agreement, you're allowed to ask them to leave. They signed that and they agreed that they would follow your rules. And if they're not, you know, you can politely ask them that, hey, it's no longer a fit for the home, and you can ask them to be removed. It doesn't happen very often. Most of the problems, you know, you can work them out. But I think that people don't anticipate that side of it of, you know, oh, potentially I'm going to have, you know, a daughter, Judy, who has really high expectations, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. And then how does these smaller homes, like in your mind, how do they end up competing with like the bigger homes that maybe have more amenities and more services? You know, like I've seen some of them that have like movie theaters and, you know, I don't know, golf or something, yeah. Things like that.
They've got all sorts of stuff. I know. They're super fun. I think that in general, during COVID, we saw a massive influx of people ripping their parents out of big box facilities and begging to come into our homes. And at this point, it's like most of our students have waiting lists. Like they're trying to open more and more homes because the silver tsunami of seniors hasn't even hit the shore. It's another 20 years until the baby boomers are in these homes. Right now, it's the silent generation. We haven't even hit the massive peak, the influx, right? So it's just going to get crazier and crazier. If you look at any of the numbers and a lot of what we explain in our teachings and our webinars and stuff, is that literally we couldn't build the beds fast enough. At this point, like it's going to be a massive crisis. There will be tons of seniors who there's not even a bed for. So at some point, the demand is going to be so high and the supply is going to be low, it won't be an issue. But right now, staying competitive, trying to make sure you're setting yourself apart. You know, a lot of the thing that people realize is, if grandma needs help getting up from bed to go to the kitchen, she's not playing golf or bocce or swimming laps in the pool. You know, those things, they're marketing to attract the daughter Judy, because the daughter Judy swims and plays bocce and wants to have fun. And she's like, well, mom, you're going to love this place. Mom's like, I'm going to have a hard time to walk to breakfast, you know, like that's not what she's thinking about. So I think sometimes like just explaining to them, you know, hey, this is different. This is more home-like, maybe for a senior who's more introverted, doesn't want 100 other people in their, you know, home, in their facility, right? It feels a lot better to them to have just 6 people, you know, and like one chair that's designated theirs. We still do, a lot of our homes still have hair salons, movie theaters. We still have activities come every day, like senior yoga, pet therapy, music therapy, like all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Stay competitive. There's no way to compete with a big box in that way. I think it's more just knowing that that's attracting daughter Judy. It's not.
Yeah, that is a really interesting point. And it makes a lot of sense. It's like that. And that's really who's making the decision, you know, lot of the time. But I mean, I like that you can kind of still offer some of those activities by, you know, having people come to the facility and do, you know, like you said, the various activities that folks can look forward to. Okay. Very interesting. And so, you know, obviously the expense ratio on these properties is like sort of high, you know, around like 75% or maybe a little less. How do you, you know, make sure that you're not going to kind of not be able to, you know, break even
Yeah, definitely. You want to make sure there's kind of different ways you could get into this industry, but let's just go with the example of you're buying an up and running one, right? You're buying the real estate, you're buying the business. You do want to make sure that that cap rate is at least 40% or higher, that capitalization rate, because if there's not at least 40 grand coming down to that gross number, your numbers aren't going to work out fair to you. So really those 6 to 16 residents, whatever you're charging them, it's got a total at least that 40K a month to be able to kind of make those numbers work. So doing that demographic research to find out what is actually being charged in your area is vital, because what's being charged in San Francisco is completely different than Stockton, right? And a home that would work up there would not work down here. So you have to make sure that you've done all that research. You know that the home will work before you even look at a property. The fun part's looking at the properties. Running the numbers first, making sure that it's going to work in the area is vital.
Yeah, for sure. And just to that point, when you think about an area that's good for, like, are you looking at homes that are in, you know, suburbs with like a specific area median income, or, you know, because obviously like kids are probably going to be sort of close to their parents, but they need to be able to afford it, right? So how do you kind of niche down there?
Perfect question. So demographics, definitely. You want to look for an area where the 50 to 70 year olds are the majority. Upper middle class, so making at least 2 times the median income, and then definitely more homeowners than renters. There's websites, you know, you can literally Google demographics of, you know, an area, but Movoto, Movoto.com, you can type in your area and find out all the demographics. So what's the average age range? How much do they make? Everything like that. And then you can kind of target down to, this is the area I want to be, because that's that daughter duty. She's the 50 to 70 year old who's searching for mom or dad. Just like you said, she wants mom or dad 5 minutes away from her. She does not want to drive 45 minutes across town. So you definitely want to make sure it's right around them, because they're the ones putting their parents who are 70, 80, 90 into these homes. So targeting the daughter duties is the key.
Okay. Very cool. Okay. Awesome. Well, we've covered a lot of ground here, and I definitely think it's, you know, an exciting space. It's a way to, you know, give back, right? Because these are places that are needed, and, you know, people want options for what happens with mom and dad when they start to age and can't necessarily, you know, are starting to have issues with their ADL. I think that's what it's called, right? Activities of daily living. So yeah, just really appreciated you hearing about it. And clearly, you know, you guys have, you know, figured out how to teach other aspiring entrepreneurs how to do this. Just like one quick question on that. Like, I mean, are you willing to or able to share kind of like a success rate of your students, or like, yeah, how much success your students are able to have?
I love that. Yes. So our students, typically, if you come through our 3-day training and then you're working with our coaches, like 100% of our students are somehow in this industry. They decide what is best for them, whether it's owning the real estate and leasing it to someone who's going to operate this, owning the real estate and operating it, or being a JV partner or lender. So people who come through our training that decide that they're going to move forward and work with our staff, they always do one of those three routes. Some people come to the training and they say, this actually isn't for me at all. I don't want to do this at all. And of course, that's totally fine. I'd much rather have you learn in one weekend that, hey, I learned a lot about this, but I'm good. I don't want to do it. You know, we always say you're going to get involved in senior housing one way or another. You know, you're either going to be laying in the bed writing the check to someone else, or you could be collecting the check living for free. So everyone's going to get involved, but 100% of our students who work with our team after the 3-day training are all involved at the training. It's really up to you guys. You know, it's up to you where your heart lies, if this is for you. And if the worst thing it was 3 days for you to determine that's not the path for you, then that's a good 3 days, because it ticks something off the list. And now you can focus on what you do want to focus on.
Yeah. Very cool. Okay. Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Isabel. Please share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and your academy and anything else you want to share.
Love it. The best website to go to would be RAL101.com. There's free webinars, free books, free discovery calls. Whatever you want is there to download, click, edit. It's all yours to keep and play with. So RAL101.com.
Okay, awesome. Well, I hope you all take some time to check out Isabel's website and what they have to offer. Thanks again, Isabel, for coming on the show and sharing this, you know, very interesting space and way to be a business person. See you next time.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.